Amen. Well, Chris, you need to play the piano a little more often. Wow. Praise the Lord. That was beautiful. Thank you for letting the Lord use you to lead us in that worship. Amen. Story goes that there was a man in India that was selling some quail at a bazaar, and he had a stake, a wooden stake mounted in the ground, and then he had a covey of quail that he was selling, and all each of his quail had a little string tied around their leg, and then that string tied to their leg then went to the stake, and it was tied to the stake. And so all these quail would just walk around in this circle around this stake all day long as he manned his booth and sold those quail. Well, one day a man came by and he said, "I want to buy all of them." And the man was very surprised. He said, "Great." He said, "Okay, go ahead." And then so he purchased all the quail. And once this gentleman bought the quail, he said, "Now I'm going to set them all free." And the man who sold them said, well, hold on. And then he said, "Well, I guess you can." He said, "You just bought them." But the man proceeded to go and cut the cords and untie the cords and get the cords off of each of these quails' legs. And then the man went up to the quail, and they weren't flying away. And so he went up to them and he said, "Go, go, go, shoo." And they would fly up just a little bit, but then they would settle back down. And then he'd run up to them again and go, "Go, go, go, shoo, shoo, you're free, you're free." And they would fly up just a little and they would land back down. Well, he tried this a few times and he just couldn't get them to fly away. Every time he would do it, they would flutter up and they would land back down on the ground. And you know what they would do once they landed back on the ground? They would start walking around in a circle together. Well, for those birds, the old was gone. The old was the life of being enslaved to that stake and that string and just having to walk around in circles day in and day out. The monotony of it, that was their old life. And the old was gone. They didn't have to do that anymore. The old was gone and the new had come. Freedom had come. They had been set free. The cord had been cut. They were untied. They were free. They could fly away. The new was here. I suggest that some of you here this morning will leave here today still in the old. Some of you, by your own choice, will choose to walk through those doors knowing that you're a believer, that you're a Christian. You'll choose to walk through those doors after hearing God this morning, hearing His Word, and you'll walk out and you'll live in the old. And you'll choose to stay in the old. Let me also suggest to you that there are some here this morning that will hear God, they will hear His Word, and they will walk out these doors, and they will walk out the next doors, and they will fly away as God intends, as God's will is, as His plan is. Who will you be today? Who will you be this morning? You see, He makes all things new. Let's pray together. Father, we just ask, Lord, that we would hear Your Word. Lord, I ask that I would just be an instrument. I ask that You would get me out of the way, Lord. Let me not hinder what You want to say. Lord, please speak through me. Please speak through Your Word. Speak to each of our hearts. And Lord, let us leave here new, changed, following You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. How can you leave in the new this morning? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you're new at this, that's in your New Testament. The New Testament is just your last fourth of the Bible or so. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just keep going forward. You'll see Romans, and eventually you'll see 1 Corinthians. And then you want to land in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Get this string here to be a reminder of the old. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verses 14 through 17. I read some of this chapter right at the beginning of the service. God is talking to us about the ministry of reconciliation. And here's what He says in verses 14 to 17. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Well, how can you live in the new this morning? How can you live in the new that has come? Well, first of all, you need to know He died for you. Verse 14. You need to know that He died for you. And then, as you know Christ Jesus died for you, as you know and you envision Him hanging on that cross, bleeding, suffering, with you on His mind, knowing that if you were standing at the foot of that cross, that He would be looking right at you as He's bleeding and dying, and that He would be saying, I love you. I love you. Knowing that He did that for you, let His love compel you. That was some incredible love that He showed to you, was it not? Let that love compel you. Let that love of Christ for you compel you to love and to give yourself to Him and to do whatever He wants you to do. Let His love compel you. God mentions here that one died for all, and therefore all died. One died for all, Jesus Christ. We're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. You died. You died. You are included in that all. When Jesus died on the cross, when He died for you, you died with Him. You died to your old life. You died to your sin nature. You see, what He was dying for was your sins. Well, we know from birth, we are sinners. We know we are born with a sinful nature, that it is in our very nature to sin. That's our natural bent as a result of the fall. That's why you don't have to teach a child to be bad, but you do have to teach one to be good. That's our sinful nature. It's in our very nature. And when Christ died on the cross, He put all of your sins upon Himself. 2,000 years ago in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus began to bear the weight of your sin. And God began to transfer all of the sin and the guilt of the world onto His own Son. And He who knew no sin, Jesus, the Scripture tells us right here, He became sin for us. All the sin of the world, every sin that you have ever committed since you were born, and then every sin that you will commit until the day you die, all of your sins were placed on Jesus 2,000 years ago. And all the sins of the world, of every person who's ever lived, the sin was placed upon Him. He began to bear the weight of it, bear the weight and the guilt of it. And the Bible says that his sweat was like drops of blood. It says that he said, "My soul is sorrowful to the point of death." Well, therefore, he was bearing all of your sinful nature. Anything about you that is not right, your whole sin nature, every sin that you've ever will and ever have and ever will commit, it was all put on him. So you were there. Your sinful nature was there. All of your sins and you and your sinful nature was placed on him and then was nailed to the cross. And so your old nature, your old self, all of your sins were nailed on the cross with Jesus. You were there. Your sinful nature was there. And so when he died, you died with him. Your old life, your sinful nature. Galatians 2:20, that's why God tells us in Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, "For I have been crucified with Christ." 2,000 years ago, I was there. My sinful nature was upon Christ Jesus. All of my sins were right there and they were nailed to the cross. And the old me is dead and gone with Jesus. It died with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so the old me was crucified to the Christ. My sinful nature was crucified to the Christ. That's why the story goes that Augustine, however you want to pronounce it, the old church father, that he had a miraculous conversion and God completely transformed and changed his life. And he used to live in wild living with all these women and things. And his mother was just constantly praying for Augustine continuously. And finally, the light came on and the Lord reached him. And Augustine came to Christ and he gave his life to him. And the old him was crucified with Christ. And now, he was brand new. Jesus was living in him. And one time he was walking down the street and one of his old lovers saw him. And she said, "Augustine, Augustine, it is I." And he just tried to get away from her and kept walking. And he turned back around and he said, "Yes, but it is not I." He was gone. The old him doesn't exist anymore. He was crucified with Christ. He doesn't live anymore. He was brand new and that's what he was declaring. The old you was nailed to the cross until it was dead. 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 I found another lizard on the porch not too long ago. Dead. Dead. Just dead. That's how your old nature is. It was Rocky. It was that cat Rocky. Turn that Rocky loose in your life. That old nature is dead. Jesus took your old nature to the cross and killed it. It is dead, dead, dead. But are you living that way? Are you living that way? Are you living like the cord has been cut? Do you believe it? And do you live it? You see, Jesus calls you to remember it daily. He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This reminds us every day. And many times it's more than once in a day that we've got to die to self and we've got to remember, "Whoa, what am I? I'm not in control here. I'm dead and gone. Jesus is living in here. Jesus needs to be in control." Sometimes it's more than daily, isn't it? But he does call us at least daily to cease to exist. That's what the Greek word means. "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself. He must cease to exist. You're dead and gone. And he must take up his cross and follow me." Let him be in control. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? How can you live in the new? Well, you need to know he died for you. Next, you need to live for him. You need to live for him. We see this in verse 15. "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Notice he said, for those who live, they must live for him. Well, who are those who live? Well, those who live are those who have been saved. Those who live are those who have admitted their sinfulness. They've admitted their sin. They know that the penalty for their sin is death and hell, eternal separation from God. But then they've believed that Jesus came as their rescuer, and that He took all of their sins and He paid their punishment on the cross. And that the third day He was raised from the dead. It says who admit they're a sinner and they believe that Jesus was who He said He was, God in the flesh who came down and died for their sins and He took their punishment and He was raised from the dead. And then finally, it's those who call on Him. They believe that, but then they call on Him in such a way that they put their trust in Him. And they say, Jesus, I not only believe that You did all this for me, but I'm calling on You personally. And I'm saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need You. Save me from my sins. Come into my life. I give my life to You. And for those who put their faith in Him, that's who He's speaking to. Those are the ones that live. It's just like this chair here. I can believe in this chair all day long. I believe it exists. I even believe it would hold me up if I sat in it. But it's not. It doesn't do anything for me. The kind of belief, the kind of trust in Jesus that you need is the kind of trust that says, yeah, I believe it. Watch this. It's holding my full weight. And that's a lot. It is. I'm working on it. But that chair, I truly put my trust in it, didn't it? That's what you've got to do to Jesus. That's what you've got to do with your sins. You've got to say, Jesus, I trust You. I give You my life. I put my complete faith and trust in You and You alone to get me to heaven, to save me from my sins. Here I am. I give You myself. Put my full weight on You. And with that kind of trust, you are one who lives. And for those who live, those who believe, they should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Well, who are you living for? Maybe you know you've already put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you know you're a Christian. Maybe you know you've been set free. But let me ask you that question. Who are you living for? Are you looking out for number one? When you break up your day and you say, okay, let me look back at the first half of my day. What was I focused on? What or who was I living for in that first half of the day? Maybe you can look back at your last hour of life and you can say, what was I focused on this last hour? Who was I living for? What was I living for in the last hour? Maybe you can ask yourself right now, N-O-W, what am I focused on right now? Who am I living for? What am I living for right now? Because you see, if it's yourself, or if it's someone else, or if it's others in general, or if it's meeting needs, I live for meeting people's needs, or if it's doing good things, or if it's religious things, or if I'm living for that, none of that's the right thing. I'm living for those things. What am I called to live for? Christ. I need to live for Him who died for me. I need to live for Christ. Christ, Him alone. Nothing else. Live for Him. I saw this coaching Christians baseball not too long ago. I was working with all the hitters and two little boys came up to my station and they were ready to hit off the tee and they were both arguing over who's going to be first. The one boy was saying, I'm first, I'm first, I'm going. The other one was saying, no, I'm going first. And I just stopped them and I said, which one of you guys wants to let the other one go first? And they both said, they were just silent. Neither of them said anything. And I asked them again, who's going to be the first one to let the other one go first? And they both just sat there and they both kind of mumbled, I want to go first. I want to go first. And then I told them, I said, well, sorry you guys decided that way. Nobody said anything. If one of you had said, I'll let him go first, you actually would have been the one that went first. Because Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. I don't know if I said all that, but that's how it would have played out. What were they focused on? They were focused on themselves. Nice call here. Are you focused on yourself? Do you focus on yourself? And this can be so subtle. I was in the office here probably Thursday morning doing some things. And I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. I knew what He wanted me to be working on. But I saw an article on Tony Evans and how he was at Eastmont Baptist. And I got to see him the other night and everything. It was awesome. And I started to read that article. But I knew what I was supposed to be doing. But that's a good thing. I was reading an article about Tony Evans. And I took my time reading and I went through. But you know, something in my spirit, it just, I was being sidetracked. You ever get sidetracked? By a good thing? Nothing wrong with reading a Tony Evans article. That's going to help build me up, encourage me, make me a much better pastor. And it was a wonderful, wonderful article. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're focused on, no matter how good it is, if it's not Christ, if it's not Jesus, and what He's telling you to do. So who or what do you live for? You know, some people say, I live for golf. Some people say, I live for football. I live for Alabama. People don't ever say, I live for Auburn. But I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. But no, what do you live for? I live for this. I live for gardening. I live for, I don't know what it is you live for, shopping. Maybe you say, I just live to make ends meet. That's what I live for. None of that is it. If you are a believer, you're to live for Him who died for you. You're to keep your focus there and live for Him. So how can you live in the new? You can know that He died for you. And so you can know that you need to live for Him. And finally, know that He's made you brand new. Know that He has made you brand new. You see that in verse 16. In verse 17. You see, you were in your old life. And in verse 16, it talks about how you used to see Christ and others from a worldly point of view. But now, in verse 17, now the new has come. The old has gone away. Verse 17 says that if anyone is in Christ, that is, you put your faith in Him like that chair, it says, you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the Greek there word is katesis for creation, a new creation. And it not only means, it means the act of creating. The act of creating something. But it also means the thing created. Well, that is you. If you are in Christ, if you've become a Christian, if you put your faith in Jesus, you are a new creation. You have not been reformed or reshaped or refurbished or fixed in any sort of way. No, you are brand spanking new. You're new. You're a new creation. It's not like the old has been improved upon. The old is dead, dead, dead. Christ has done a work in you and you are a brand new creation, completely new. We had our microwave died on us. Allison was in there and she heard a pop. And that's it. It was dead. It's gone. And now, you know where it is? It's out on the carport just sitting there. And now we've bought a new one. And you see, the old is gone. We didn't spend our time trying to fix this old microwave, see if we can get it working again. No, it's sitting out there and there's a new one. That's you, if you're a Christian. That's you, if you're in Christ. The old is dead and gone, not improved upon. You have become brand new. But some of you here this morning are trying to fix the old nature. You're spending countless hours, time, energy, and effort keeping you up at night, trying to fix your old nature, trying to fix what's broken and cannot be fixed, what has been thrown out. You're trying to be a better Christian, and you are exhausted, and your life is miserable with little to no change whatsoever. You spend all your time on the old microwave oven when God has a brand new one sitting in a box right next to you. You have a new nature. God has made you brand new. And so open the box and plug it in. and get going. Fly away. Fly away. He's cut the cord. Chris led us in a song, I will fly away. I'll fly away. You need to fly away this morning. Isaiah 40:31 tells us, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Do you want to rise on wings like eagles and soar out of here when you leave? We'll do it. Stop believing the lie. You're free. The cord's been cut. The old is gone. The new has come. You're brand new if you're a believer. You need to be soaring out of here. But maybe you're here this morning and you've realized that Christ Jesus was the man who came to the bazaar, and you know that you're enslaved to sin and its penalty, death and hell, and you know you're just walking around that circle. Maybe you've realized this morning that it's Christ Jesus who has come and cut the cord and He sets you free. And maybe you finally realized that this morning and you want to be free and you want to come to Him. In just a moment, Chris is going to lead us in a song, and when he does, you just step out of your seat and you just come and you just proclaim that. You can whisper that in my ear. You can tell me about that. That you want to follow Jesus now that you know you've been set free. You've given your life to Him. Maybe there's someone here living for Him, but you're living for yourself. Maybe you know that He's telling you to join this church, that this is your church home. Or maybe He's telling you to be baptized and join this church. But you're living for yourself. You're not living for Him. You're doing what you want, not what He wants. Well, follow Him this morning. You can do the same thing. Maybe you just need to do this in every area of your life. Maybe you just need to realize that the old is gone and dead, and that you are brand new, and that you need to just start soaring and living it and flying. Maybe you just want to ask the Lord to help you to do that this morning. Well, you can pray from your seat as Chris leads us. And Chris, if you'll come this time, if you want to pray at the altar, you can pray here, but whatever God tells you to do, you do.